Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy. Recording is 1:02 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 1st. Well, we had a very significant outbreak of public disobedience, looting, violence over the weekend in the USA. That was particularly true in Los Angeles, and there was looting all over the city, but most particularly from high value areas, Santa Monica, the 3rd Street Promenade, Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. Then in poorer neighborhoods down in Long Beach, there was also a significant uptick. And one thing that's certain is that people have been traveling into these areas from all over Southern California and further afield to loot and pillage. What is also clear is that there is a clear rationale for the protests. Black Lives Matter were the people that started it, but the broader theme of police impunity to prosecution is a very significant issue that will eventually have to be addressed, and perhaps the Supreme Court is going to start getting into that in the middle of this month. But the much bigger picture is that the whole trend of action that the Federal Reserve has deployed since 2008 has been to inflate asset prices. Well, that obviously benefited asset holders over people who don't have assets. It also inconvenienced savers by deliberately compressing bond yields. So for Jay Powell to say that he is certain that Fed actions have not contributed to inequality is really laughable. And we are now seeing this very wide gap between Main Street and Wall Street. It's most acutely evident on the incredible performance of the Nasdaq, where it pulled back to the region of the 200-day moving average and rebounded in a very emphatic fashion, and it is now right in the region of its previous peak. And it has been pausing below this psychological 10,000 level. Having got right up to that level at the beginning of the year, we're now back testing it again. We're only 400 points short of the 10,000 level on the NASDAQ 100. But one thing that I think is particularly worth highlighting is the RSI divergences that we've seen this year. Now, this has been a particularly influential indicator. It's not something that I've really ever paid much attention to over the course of the last 20 years, because there haven't been that many very clear divergences, but it's been certainly something that I've highlighted on a number of occasions this year, because there have been some very easily observable RSI divergences on some of the major indices. It's also worth reminding ourselves that these types of divergences are relatively easy to highlight or to program into a trading system. Now, we can see a good example of what I mean by a divergence in January and February. The RSI made a new high on the 17th of January. Then it made a lower high on the 14th of February. And 2 days later, it started declining in a significant factor. So we had a lower high and versus a higher high. Now we are approaching a period here where it is not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that the NASDAQ 100 will hit a new all-time high tomorrow. And yet the RSI is miles below the peak put in back in February. This is another significant divergence, and it is acutely evident on the weekly chart. Now, we also have a similar condition when we look at what happened in 2018, before it had a significant decline. The stock market had pushed higher to a new high. The RSI did not. Well, what this suggests to me is that this significant divergence between Main Street and Wall Street that the stock market has been completely immune to over the course of the last 2 months may be reaching the end of the road. And that is something that we do need to pay attention to. Part of the reason for that is because the dollar is now declining. And it has declined further on the dollar index in here today to break back below the trend mean. Now, it is, I think, important to highlight that the very tight range that it put in around the 100 level over the course of the last 2 months was an inert period which generally gives way to a period of volatility, and it could have broken either way, but it has broken on the downside. That has, I think, in most part been in response to the very clear intention of the monetary and fiscal authorities in the USA to debase the currency in service to trying to support the economy. But also it's tied to the enthusiasm around the potential that Europe is in fact capable of dealing with some of its most systemic challenges, not least the fact that it is bereft of a way of transferring liabilities from weaker to stronger members. Then we have the fact that the pound is pushing back up towards the 125 area, and that is despite the continued brinksmanship that's going on between the UK and Europe in negotiating some form of trade deal. The Australian dollar has also steadied in here and is now back above its trend mean and challenging the more than 2 year sequence of lower rally highs. But the reality here is that Australia still has positive interest rates and commodity prices are starting to recover. The continuous commodity index was in positive territory in here today. Now, it's also worth highlighting that that is an unweighted index. When we look at the CRB index, which does have a higher weighting of energy, then it's also at the upper side of this short-term range and challenging the peak from back in April. There's the potential that we're going to see additional upside in here. Copper prices have also been steadying, and they continue to bounce from the $2 area, which represented the lows back in 2015 and 16, and it has just about unwound the oversold condition relative to the trend mean and is testing the lower side of that overhead trading range around the $2.50 level. Nickel prices were also in positive territory in here today. Now, we have had a good deal of volatility in the nickel price, but the most important thing it has done has been to break that sequence of lower rally highs, evident for most of the last 9 months. Oil prices, then, are starting to steady as well. It is looking increasingly likely that Chinese demand is picking up. There is apparently a queue of tankers off the coast of China ready to offload cargoes. So they have been buying aggressively with prices being this low. And oil prices hit a new recovery high in here today. We are also seeing that iron ore prices have been steadying and have pushed up and out of the range that's persisted for the last 6 months. There is the continued potential that with China doing everything to try and support their economy and with the trouble that Brazil is having in containing the coronavirus, that iron ore will become a supply inelasticity meets rising demand market, at least in the short term. Well, that is particularly welcome for the resources sector, and the BlackRock World Mining Trust was off its lows in here today, but more importantly is finding support now in the region of the trend mean. Hong Kong was in positive territory in here today, and it rallied 700 points, 3%, to put in a higher reaction low. So that is perhaps the clearest bullish confirmation we've had in a while that support is coming in at a successively higher level. Now, it has still got room, perhaps a challenge, to repair some of the damage done to the trend over the course of the last two and a bit years. But as long as it's holding that higher reaction low, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. the Japanese market was also in positive territory, and it is back above the trend mean. It is pushed back up into that overhead trading range, and it continues to improve upon that performance. What I also found particularly interesting was this graphic from Deutsche Bank, which highlights the fact that the Bank of Japan owns almost 80% of all the free float of Japanese stock ETFs. The Nikkei right now has got a dividend yield around 1.99%. The S&P 500 has a dividend yield of 1.98%. And it's not all that often that you can pick up a higher yield in Japan than you can from the USA. One rather important fact about the bond markets is the willingness of the Japanese market, or I guess Japanese buyers of foreign debt, which is primarily their life insurance companies, to move money around. So, for example, they sold approximately $2 trillion worth, or I should say this is actually trillion yen. They sold 2 trillion yen of debt in France as yields went inverted. They bought 5.24 trillion of US treasuries. However, how willing are they going to be to hold on to those bonds if the dollar continues to weaken? That's something that Japan is rather alert to, but it's something that everyone else should be paying attention to as well. One of the primary reasons for holding government bonds is because of the security that you get from the currency. If you're a foreign investor picking up a 66% yield, then you had really better have some form of security in the form of the currency if you're going to continue to hold it. And the yield has been static around the 50 basis point level. But if the dollar continues to weaken, then the impetus is going to clearly be on the Federal Reserve to continue to buy those bonds to depress the yields, because there will be less demand for them from foreign investors. So one thing that I think the maturity to pay attention to on that front is going to be the 5-year, because it's the most common duration among US government bonds, and it's still around the 30 basis point level. When we then think about the outlook for inflation, and we have to start thinking about that, not least because of the actions of central banks everywhere, well, it's going to become most and clearly apparent in the longer end of the curve, and the 30-year yield has held a sequence of higher reaction lows over the course of the last month. It's coming back up towards the 1.5% level. On the other hand, if it can sustain a move back above the 2% level, well, then I think we can start thinking seriously about the decades-long process of yield contraction that it may in fact be over. That's still quite a ways from where we are right now, and we also know that there is still an economic contraction going on. So there is still a great deal of additional liquidity hitting the market, not only in the USA, but everywhere else as well. Well, the German and Swiss markets were closed in here today, but the rest of Europe was open and up in a reasonably dynamic manner. So the the Eurostoxx index is pushing up and out of this range, and looks increasingly likely that it will at least unwind the oversold condition relative to the trend mean and potentially push higher than that. I think the most important thing that's happening in Europe is that the stock market is exhibiting an ability to continue to rally even as the euro is strengthening, and that is indicative of continued support for the value argument. It's a similar condition with the FTSE 250, which is generally considered to be much more domestically oriented. The continued strength of the pound is something that we would have potentially anticipated would have had a deleterious effect on the FTSE 100, for example, but it hasn't had an effect on either, and both were in positive territory today, despite the fact that the pound was up a cent. Well, we continue to see that there's a sequence of higher reaction lows. Both indices continue to unwind their respective oversold conditions compared to the trend mean. Then I think it's also worth continuing to keep an eye on the gold market. It was in positive territory again in here today. Silver is coming back up towards the $20 level. It has paused today around $19. This is not the first time it's done that over the course of the last 9 months. If it can sustain a move above the $20 area, then we are back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. I think it is, on the balance of probabilities, it is likely that it's going to do that at some point over the next few months. Quite whether it has the impetus to be able to do it following an already impressive advance over the course of just the last 3 months without some consolidation first is, I think, a bit of a question. But as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, then I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And there is a clear rationale for having an interest in precious metals. The continued willingness of governments everywhere to debase their currencies, well, that bolsters or perhaps burnishes the reputation of precious metals as an asset that cannot simply be printed or loaned into existence. And platinum is now back at around the $900 level. It was up 25 in here today, and pushing up and finding support clearly now in the region of the trend mean. So that is about the most positive action we've seen in a week. Then palladium continues to hold the region of the trend mean, and it has also broken that downward bias from the peak in February. There is still potential that it is going to continue to do better from here. When we then think about some of the emerging markets, well, the South African rand continues to strengthen and is unwinding its oversold condition. The Mexican peso continues to strengthen as well. These are obviously commodity-related currencies. The Indian rupee remains under pressure, but it is not accelerating lower, at least at the present moment. The Nifty was also in positive territory in here today and has pushed up and out of this little range, but it more importantly has put in a higher reaction low. Now, we may get some additional consolidation around that psychological 10,000 level, but the bigger picture is that we have a higher reaction low following a very steep decline, and that there is continued potential that it will be able to push back above that 10,000 level. The missing ingredient until now has been the banking sector, but it is steadying, and it is also potentially now having put in a higher reaction low relative to the nadir in March. And as long as banks are not trending downwards, and I do think that this looks more like a period of support building, well, then that is supportive of the view that some of the worst is of the Arcus has been priced into Indian stocks already. Well, the clear potential here is that we're looking at a rotation, that some of the challenges that the USA is facing are likely to be manifested in the stock market at some stage. They're certainly already starting to show up in the currency, and the valuation disparity between the rather overvalued condition on Wall Street compared to just about everything else is now starting to become an issue for investors when the currency has already started to turn. Well, that suggests that there's going to be a bigger market for emerging markets and Europe and Japan in particular than there has been over the course of the last few years because of the weakness of the dollar. The fact that we do have that RSI divergence on the NASDAQ 100 is also a source of potential caution. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.